all the songs you love, right here on Nova 103.5. Your life, your music. Namibia's business leader on Nova 103.5.
The lead story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future. I'm speaking today to Presidential Advisor James Nupe, though today he's wearing his Hydrogen Commissioner hat. Hello, Mr. Nupe.
Hey, David, how's it going?
Good, thanks, and you?
Awesome, nice to meet you.
So there's obviously a lot of excitement about green hydrogen. I think, though, what a lot of people want to know is when. You know, what progress has been made on the project thus far? When's it expected that Namibia will start seeing benefits from it?
Now, fantastic. And, you know, I'd love to keep on sort of encouraging the viewers to start looking beyond the project and to start looking at the industry, right? So last week, for example, the world descended upon Namibia. We had somebody here from every continent off the planet. I think there were like three or four private jets that were hanging out at Hosea Kotaku International Airport. And not all of them were here for Hyphen, right? They were here to do business with you, right? In your country, using some of your land, using some of your port or rail infrastructure. So what is the bigger industry and what's going on? So last week, for example, we unlocked a $500 million injection into the Namibian economy. Nothing at all to do with the Hyphen project. Everything to do with pilot projects of Namibian businesses that were looking to participate in the industry and not necessarily in Hyphen. So I think that train has left the station. Literally, for some people, they're going to start building train stations. I think local businesses are receiving capital as we speak to build projects today. And I think that's the bigger deal. The Hyphen project itself, next key milestone is implementation agreement. We want to get that signed in November. So government is now putting the last final touches of its negotiation with Hyphen. And they were negotiating on all sorts of things, whether it's equity stakes or, for example, when do they actually get to start with their feasibility? All those sort of things is what we're putting our final touches on. And COP27, November, Egypt, is the stage that we're aiming to get to. It's a pretty tight squeeze. We hope we make it, but that's what we're aiming for. So that's the next big milestone. And then after that, you know, they start their feasibility, which is 110 to 140 million US dollars. So you're looking at 2 billion Namibian dollars, easy peasy. And again, that should start quarter one next year. And that's real money, right? Like feasibility studies, there'll be guys in Namibia that will help them erect wind masts, start small scale construction, do environmental impact assessments. So again, you don't have to wait for the main construction, which is slated for 2025. You could start getting involved today. They're already starting to hire, etc.
And you obviously, I mean, you're rubbing shoulders with a lot of people around the world now. Part of the sort of knock-on on this, perhaps, is just that Namibia is now being spoken about. We're kind of everywhere at the moment.
Yeah. Look, absolutely. And, you know, that was kind of a big part of the aim, right? So if you looked at HPP2, the way we articulated the green hydrogen or green ammonia gig was, we thought it was a strategic bet. And the reason we said strategic bet was because of that as well. We thought the payoff was asymmetric in nature. Small investment, you know, a few sort of trips around the world, start showcasing an RFP, but the payoff could be massive. And you're absolutely right. If you looked at last week, I was shocked for the first time, you know, because I've been around the world, you're right, people are quite interested. But last week, there were people here from Bosch wanting to build a whole solar plant from scratch. Like mining the silica to turn, you know, like to actually building the panels and like a multi-billion dollar investment. And not just in Namibia. The solar was in Namibia. They wanted to do electrolyzers in South Africa. They wanted to do some assembly in bots. And they were not small fry, right? And that was one of at least seven proposals I saw that were hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in nature. Now, of course, not all of those will convert. But to your point, Namibia is on the lips of a lot of people around the planet. And that's fantastic, you know, because some of them, I met a guy last week who is the head of DHL, or he used to be the head of DHL. Now he runs their foundation. And he came because through his foundation, they've been supporting some of our research. So again, FDI. But he came with his wife because after the conference, he went for a week hopping around on a plane because he's a pretty wealthy guy, you know, spraying some cash into our economy. fantastic, right? Helps tourism, helps jobs, helps FDI, but also just helps the global recognition. So super exciting, I think, and there's just more to come, right?
You talk about the sort of not just bringing in panels and sort of capturing the entire value chain. How important is that in our negotiations and in our talks that we don't just have people coming in and putting stuff down on the ground?
Super critical. Super critical, because what we're envisioning, again, is beyond a project. We're envisioning a synthetic fuels industry that has the capability of potentially to absorb 5 to 7, possibly 10 hyphens. You know, 10 sounds like a lot. So I always sort of scale that number down, because the technical studies are saying we could do 10. And I'm just like, that's too much for my brain to try and compute. So I'm saying maybe 5 or 7. Five or seven hyphens is redonkulous, right?
Lot, yeah.
It is like 1.5 million tons of green hydrogen. It is, you know, if hyphen's going to be a $12 billion project, you know, you're looking at 60 billion. So those numbers are ridiculous. Now, if you're going to do those sort of size projects, you can justify an electrolyzer manufacturing plant in Namibia. You can justify wind blade assembly here. You can justify potentially, you know, manufacturing solar plants. Now, one of the things a lot of the people are also recognizing is that Namibia is 2.5 million people. Yes, we now have this land that can allow for outsized investments into our country beyond just our people. So guys are not investing in us because we have 27 million or 100 million people. They're investing in us because we can serve 100 billion people by producing products here that the world wants. The other thing that's happening, David, is folks are realizing they can serve other African markets from Namibia. So the solar plant, or even there's a conversation about a guy who wants to build an electrolyzer plant here. They would want to be exporting some of those electrolyzers into the Buchubai project in Northern Cape, you know, into Botswana eventually when they do large-scale solar. And that begins to become a really, really interesting play for Namibia, especially with this whole ambition of becoming a logistics hub as well, right? Because then you can transport the stuff into the other African nations, but you form the special economic zone manufacturing thing in Walvis Bay, because we have tons of space, we have the port right there. So that's where we're going with all of this, yeah.
Okay. No offense to you, but, you know, there are people who will say, well, you know, you come from government, you're going to say these things. But we were talking earlier about studies.
Yeah.
Are there studies that people can actually go, you know, if they don't want to believe James Nupe, they can go and read for themselves?
100. I mean, we're on radio, but I'm holding my iPad. And there's a study that, you know, research, there's tons of research out there. But the one I would read if I just wanted to understand the market, especially the ammonia market, because that's actually the first product we're making. Green hydrogen in itself will be pretty hard to trade viably today, right? Whereas ammonia, you know, that is being traded today. And when you make green ammonia, it should be displacing gray ammonia. Then the issue is price, and we can talk about that as well. But there's a really cool, easy, user-friendly piece of research to read from Irina. It's called Innovation Outlook, and it's focusing on renewable ammonia, right? And it will go and sort of show you how the ammonia market is expected to evolve between now and 2050. And what is amazing, you know, we're going from about 200 million tons of ammonia in terms of demand, and by 2050, we're looking at 700 million, right? So more than a tripling.
What's driving that demand?
Exactly. It's the shipping. The big part of the new demand that comes on is actually shipping.
Okay.
Yeah, and when you look at what Namibia is doing, I mean, we're stitching some of this stuff really opportunistically, but it's really working.
Oh.
We put out a national container terminal sort of RFP couple actually last year, and we've received proposals, and they're now being reviewed today. But one of those proposals is to grow the container terminal big time, right? So from 750,000 TEU capacity, potentially to more than 2 million. And the guys vying for that are like some of the largest shipping companies in the world, right? So that was happening anyway. And that's also a multi-billion-dollar investment, by the way. They're going to dredge the thing, make it deeper, and then they want to make it a transshipment hub. Huge play. Now, when I started talking to some of them and I told them about our ammonia ambitions or ambitions to produce ammonia, they lost it, right? Because some of them want to start converting their ships to run on ammonia, green ammonia to be specific, right? So there are five sort of hard to abate sectors out there, or at least five key ones: power, steel, just normal hydrogen production, ammonia, and then transport is the other one. And in transport, long-haul trucking, shipping, and aviation are huge. And with shipping, some of these guys are buying the ships Q3 2023, as in next year. And they're saying, hold on, so Namibia could become a key hub for me to actually refuel on my global trips. And CMB and ONL are doing and envisioning exactly that. So remember, those two want to build a 2.5 billion euros, so 40 billion plus, liquid bulk ammonia terminal in Walvis Bay. And CMB runs like a whole bunch of ships. I think more than 300 ships around the world. And, you know, like shipping buddies talk to one another. So all of a sudden, like that's a huge play for us. A big transshipment hub with ammonia bulk. And then one of the things we now want to start sorting out is the rail. Because once you start sorting out the rail and you're decarbonizing that, you have one of the most unique footprints across the continent, possibly even you're rivaling with the world, to become that transshipment hub. And that's that whole sector coupling that we're trying to do sort of at a government level. But, you know, like you said, you don't have to believe us. Read this particular piece of writing. I think you guys will link it in the interview. Yep, we'll link. And then go from there.
Speaking about those smaller projects, and you mentioned the rail. So, you know, you've got the project with Transnamib that was announced last week. We see that they're currently looking to sell off properties to fund their turnaround plan. How is Transnamib involved in the greater scheme of things, and how will the project benefit them?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, the project is probably a drop in the bucket of a larger plan to try and infuse capital, but also assistance, private sector involvement, you know, to turn around Transnamib. And, you know, sometimes we think of Transnamib, the company, then people get personal and they start thinking of the board and the CEO. But if you just think of Transnamib and the rail sector and the role it has to play in the ambition that we have with the synthetic fuels industry, it is massive, right? You're going to be moving wind blades that are like 180 meters long. You can't move all of that stuff on road. You might need to ship some of that on rail. You're going to be bringing three times the number of containers through Walvis Bay. Some of those are going up north, maybe possibly to Congo. Some of that is on rail. You're going to be moving potentially at some point in time, synthetic fuels, right? So methane, stuff like that. We want to move some of that from Ocho Donjupa region to Irongo region. That is on rail. And so with those possibilities, one of the things that we do see is the ability for private sector to come and work with Transnamib, PPPs, joint ventures, whatever, right? And that will bring in technical expertise, capital. And so, yes, we're definitely wobbling right now, like with Transnamib, the strike, stuff like that. But, you know, this project, however many million euros it is, just gives them a bit of a shot in the arm, begins to help them see the future. And then what I actually would love to do is get them cheap concessionary climate-related capital to potentially start buying them new wagons. Because at the moment, the idea was to get, I think it was $2 billion or something like that, Namibian dollars, from DBSA. But, you know, that's a fairly typical loan. But if I can get like super, super cheap loan to buy wagons, but that are going to run on dual fuel or even electricity or hydrogen, you know, that's super interesting. And then there are lots of customers overseas that would love to then be shipping or railing their product on a train with a low carbon footprint, because that goes to the second or third order effects that they have to report to their shareholders. So that's the bigger thinking. But, you know, like Transnamib, I feel them, but they're super excited, at least the technological guys we're working with. A lot of work has to be done to sort of fix the governance, and that's above my pay grade, right?
For more on this interview and Namibia's green hydrogen project, tune in to next week's show, where we'll talk jobs, skills, and some of the interesting things James has learned along the way. The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future.
If you missed the Business Report live, but don't want to miss out on some of the most up-to-date economic, financial, business news, and so much more, you can catch up wherever it suits you by visiting the podcast page on nova.com.na.